One thing I've heard many, many people complain about is trying to build muscle and certain parts of their body they always struggle with. And currently I am, but I'm not too bothered really because I'm only been doing it for a couple of months. And I see so much information on YouTube about, oh, you shouldn't do this or you should do that. Biceps. Are they as hard as people make out? Is it as hard to build biceps larger than normal?
Well, the concept of building a muscle, any muscle, is simple. You put it under the, what is it, progressive overload. You put it under stress. You progressively get more intense by doing more reps, more weight, less rest, intensity techniques, you know, 1 1/4 reps where you kind of lift it up, you lower it a little bit, lift it up again, then all the way down, slow, negative, the eccentric motion. Yeah, you just got to progressively just keep beating the muscle and then fueling it by getting enough protein. And ultimately, what you want from that is the amino acids and rest, and then let nature do its thing. Now, there are genetic limitations. Some people genetically have different inserts. Like me, I have a high insert. So it's like when I flex, there's like a gap between where the bicep is and then where my elbow is. Other people, it's a lower insert, so you know their bicep doesn't look as high, but it's like full the way it looks when they build it up because it fills up all that arm there. Now, the amount of work that they have to put in, the amount of amino acids they need, the amount of rest, the types of workout, whatever, that's different because of what I just said, genetics. You know, my weak point, and we mentioned this so many times, is my calves. Well, I inherited my dad's body type. My dad, the blends have bigger upper bodies, but small legs. And so I inherited my dad's legs. My older brothers inherited my mom. My mom was a power lifter in college. Her legs are extremely strong, powerful legs. My two older brothers got her legs, so they have much more muscle on their legs. I didn't. Does that mean I can't grow my calves? Sure, but it's going to be a lot harder, and I'm not going to be able to get. You can maybe Google this, people, later. Mike Matarazzo, that was his name. Don't ask me to spell it, but it's Mike Matarazzo. That dude had he was a bodybuilder. May he rest in peace. He had the biggest calves, these like most freakish looking calves. Genetics, it's the way it is. You know, some people you
Yeah.
see walking around, they just have these huge calves. It's genetics. So, you know, me, I personally need more rest. Giving me a, I know following a plan where I work out like 4 or 5 times a week with weights is not going to work. I'm going to lose weight and get smaller because I'm burning my body out. I just know from experience with that. So,
Who would you say, out of all the well-known bodybuilders, were the best when it came to executing technique and, you know, diet and being really surgical about building their bodies? Does anybody come to mind?
Well, it differs from what I think. It's different because there's different ways that I could see about being surgical. I don't remember the guy's name. He was a pro, like he never won like a Mr. Olympia or anything. And I remember seeing where he would go to the gym and they would stick all the sensors on him. And when he would do exercises, they had scientists like measuring how much his muscles were working. And they're like, okay, yep, you're getting there. You have to do another rep to stimulate more muscle fibers. And so he was very scientific with it, how they did it, his workouts. They did that. And I think he actually has a podcast now as well. But then you have people like Dorian Yates, the Temple Gym. He literally going into a basement, all covered up, working his butt off on the machines, and then you had the videos of him screaming and yelling, and his partner's like, move the effing weight and everything. But he's Mr. Olympia. So, I mean, he didn't need, now, obviously, both of them are taking exogenous chemicals, aka steroids and stuff, of course, but you still have to work to get it done, especially at their level, because everybody's using steroids. You have to put in the hard work. But very simple. He didn't have expensive measuring equipment and analysis and everything, but he won the Mr. Olympia. Ronnie Coleman, the 8-time Mr. Olympia, he basically built Metroflex Gym, which is like a hardcore gym. And, you know, he was using just regular dumbbells and machines, but he went in there and put in the work, squatting 800 pounds, you know, before a contest, like, you know, for 2 and 3 reps, whatever it was on the video. So, yeah, I mean, they all have their own style of doing things. You know, presently, the Mr. Olympias, the current Mr. Olympia, which is called, his name is Hadi Chopin. He's from Iran. I think it's Iran. Yeah. And then the physique Mr. Olympia, which is Chris Bumstead, they were trained by Hani Rambod, who's actually now here in Dallas. And he's like, they call him the pro creator. He's trained, but he's very analytical with how he does things. But yet other people, you know, they all have coaches, but they all have their own styles. So
yeah,
I guess it's, I don't know. It's, I guess for me, it's kind of hard to say like which one was the most scientific or analytical, or whatever it is, because they all have their own way of doing things, which even though it's not fancy, like Dorian Yates, his style wasn't fancy, but I remember seeing him on a podcast where he still had the books from when he first started training, where he wrote down everything he did. Wasn't fancy, but he kept meticulous records on how he felt. Like he would write things like, oh, this training sucked. It was horrible session. I mean, no fancy equipment, but he had everything documented.